have memorized. And why do we memorize the word? There may come a day one day when we don't get to read our Bibles in public, where our Bibles are confiscated. Who knows? And it's those treasures and those things, the word of God that we've hidden deep down in our heart that we're going to need. Okay, so I'm going to read it to you as you guys are writing it down. And I am using a new Bible. I just got it this last year. Actually, I got it at the Pastor's Wives Retreat. And it's the Amplified Bible. And just ever so often, you know, you can get in, I don't know, I wouldn't say I was in a rut, but everything was so marked up in my Bible, it was really easy to get to, and I just felt like, you know what, Lord, I need to buy a new Bible, and I need to underline and highlight the new things that you're doing. I kind of felt like I was mixing too much of the old manna, and I want fresh new manna. And that was one of the ways, for me personally, that I did it. I bought a new Bible, and so it's different. And so I'm reading the scriptures, and it's in a different way. So I'm going to read you. The way that it reads in most Bibles is, godliness with contentment is what?
Great gain.
Okay, let me just read it to you in mine. And it is indeed a source of immense profit for godliness accompanied with contentment. That contentment, which is a sense of inward sufficiency, is great and abundant gain. So it's much more wordy, but it's just given me a little bit more to think about instead of that short verse. But I love that verse. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What are we supposed to be content about? What we need to be content about is the garden that God's given us, the life that He has given us. There is appointed things for you. Okay, now some of those things, you made the choice. Okay, so the choices that you made would be, for one, who you married. That's a big choice, right? First choice, first and most important choice is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's about four or five or six other choices that you make that affect and impact your life. Who you marry, who you don't marry, who you divorce, who you don't divorce, how many kids you have, how many kids you didn't have, where you went to school, educated, uneducated, where you work, where you choose to work, where you resigned yourself to work, where you go to church, where you don't go to church, where you need to go, where you serve the Lord, where you don't serve, where you know you should be serving. Those few questions that you ask yourself are the parameters of your life that God's given you. And they're all different. It's individual. Your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is individual. But there's certain decisions that you have made consciously, unconsciously, with prayer, or without prayer that have put you into the place that you reside right now. But God is so good that even if it's not the most pristine place or really where you thought your life would be, the bottom line is we go back to the Word of God and it says godliness with contentment is great gain. So I'm going to choose in this sphere that the Lord's placed me in, I'm going to choose godliness. And with that, I can be content in my circumstances, and in my situation, and in my life, and in the boundaries which God has given me. Now, women have different boundaries. If you have one child, you have a boundary of, you know, that 18 years. And you're done. And there's some of you, had your child, one or two, 18 years, and they still may be with you or not. That's not the point. The point is your responsibility. You had them, right? Raised them. For some of us that have more kids, you know, I don't know that I won't ever have a kid at home. I mean, I had my last one at 40, so I'm 51, which means my youngest is 11, and he's still in elementary school. And sometimes I'm around a lot of women whose kids are all grown up, and they don't have those responsibilities anymore. And they want to go and do, and they can do things. And I still have the restraint of raising, well, I have two at home that are still underage. I actually had four at home until last week, but there's two that are older. But the underage ones, 11 and 15. And so I'm still in the mom mode. And I've been in the mom mode for 26 years. And I have another 8 more years. So that's a long time to be in mom mode. And sometimes I can become discontent when I see my friends that can just up and go with their husbands here and there, and I can't do it. I'm already thinking about Acapulco. I want to go on our missions trip when we plant that church. But you know what? I might not get to go because I got kids at home. And if my older kids go and my husband goes and my kids are just really not in a place to travel like that yet. They're just not quite there yet. They will get there, but they're not there yet. So a lot of the things that we could do when those kids were younger, we could have someone come in and watch the kids. But in our current circumstance with my son, one of my sons who has ADHD, we can't just do those kinds of things. And so there's another restraint on me. So parents that have kids that are so well behaved and they, you know, you have other opportunities that parents that have kids that don't fit that criteria that you get to do. So there's, you know, a lot of times it's either my husband goes or I go. We cannot both be gone. It just doesn't work. And a lot of times with him, my husband can't even be gone because I can't handle it. So we all have those areas, that those parameters that God's given us. But we know that God is good, and he's given that to us for a reason. And it's those things and those children and those circumstances that are out of our control that keep us on our face before the Lord, because we need his help. But that godliness with contentment, be content with what God's given you. That is a word from the Lord. There's a contentment when you choose godliness. That contentment can come and you can endure your circumstances, because there's always someone that has it more difficult than you. I'm the only one that has to pick up after my husband. I'm the only one that has to cook dinner every night. I'm the only, and it's not true. It's not true. And when we get to that, when I get to those places where I start to murmur and complain within my own home, the Lord brings me back and says, do it unto me. Do it for me. Have joy because you're blessing my heart. Oh yeah, perspective. If I had to choose a word for marriage, and you guys know this, those of you that have heard me speak before, I always choose the word what? Compromise. Marriage is compromise. I don't mean a bad spiritual compromise. I'm just talking about two people coming together. You compromise. You don't always get your way. You find a new way with two people coming together. In my Christianity, the word that I choose is perspective. I want Jesus's perspective. And many times I choose my own perspective, which is like wearing rose-colored glasses. You don't see clearly. So the Word gives us the truth, and we take the perspective that the Word shows us. Not how we feel, not what everybody else is doing, not what all your other girlfriends are doing, not what, you know, your mother is telling you to do, or, you know, we have these influences that want to influence us, these other people and the culture and who we're around. And we got to go back to the Word. Got to go back to the Word. Okay? So we got to filter things through the Word. So you got to be very careful about what you're listening to on the radio and what you're watching on TV and who is influencing you. You know? Is it Dr. Phil or Dr. Laura, or Dr. Oz, or Dr. I mean, there's all kinds of doctors that can influence you. I want Dr. Jesus to influence me, first and foremost. Not that I can't listen to those things, and have a filter, and you know what I'm saying? But you can't let that be your major influence. It's got to be the Word of God. So godliness with contentment being great, great gain, right? So you've got your garden, you're tending it, you're looking to the Word, you're recognizing that there's going to be trials and tribulation, that God's going to discipline you, that you're going to have obedience in there, and the main thing would be what? It's that little song that we sing. Love, 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 love. It's got to be with love. Everything is better with love. Everything. Turn quickly. This is the last scripture we're going to look at, John 16. This is familiar to you. This isn't new, but we want to read it to close up our teachings. It says, I have told you all these things, that you should not be offended or taken unaware or falter or be caused to stumble or fall away. I told you to keep you from being scandalized and repelled. It says, they will put you out and expel you from the synagogues, but an hour is coming that whatever kills you will think and claim that he has offered service to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. So there is a time coming. There's a time coming when it's not going to be as easy as it is right now. We know that. We sense that. We see it in the culture. We see it in the news. We hear these rumblings of, you know, what's going to be coming. It's not all going to be fine and dandy. And as we read the book of Revelations, and we've studied Revelation, we're studying Daniel now, and there's a lot of things in Revelation, you know, United States is not mentioned in there. We don't know what is going to happen here. It's already taken place in Canada that if pastors are preaching against homosexuality, that they can be put to jail. That's already happened. So you think, oh, it's never going to happen. It's just a snowball that's coming that we want to be aware. We want to be aware. And things are going to happen, and we just don't want to be caught sleeping. We want to be awake. We want to be ready. It says to be ready with the Word in and out of season, to know how to answer. There, who knows? We may have to go to the underground church. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we think that that's so far away, but think about when you were a kid. And that's all different for all of us. But, you know, I go back to the 60s and what was happening there and how far we've come and all the things scripturally that have lined up. That if you are a studier of prophecy, it's just like at any moment in time, things could change, right? Go right over to chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, he trims off, he takes away, he cleanses, he repeatedly prunes every branch. Do you see that? It doesn't just happen once. There's a repeated pruning. You know, if any of you have pruned your trees before and you get some little weird branch going out there and you trim it back, and you do it lovingly because you want it to bear more fruit. So the pruning never stops. You're going to be pruned in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, in your 70s, in your 80s. It's never going to stop. So we think, you know, we go and prune and it doesn't hurt the plant. I'm sure they feel some kind of pain if they have pain, but does it hurt when we get pruned? It hurts. It hurts, but it's good. And he cleanses and he repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. That's the reason. So there's that one saying, no pain, no gain. But it's for more, richer, and more excellent fruit. I think about the first time that I ever ate a white peach. I never even knew they existed. And someone's husband was a grocer, and he had these things. And I went to her house, and she says, here, have this. I didn't even know what it was. I'm like, oh, what is this? She goes, oh, it's a white peach. I'm like, I've never heard of a white peach. I took a bite of that thing. it was just mouth-watering. It was like the best thing I've ever had. Cherries. I love cherries. Grown up with cherries. And one time someone said, oh, you got to have one of these cherries. They're from Washington. They're like unbelievable. Okay. Now, probably one of the reasons why we didn't have those kinds of things when I was growing up was they were more expensive. And, you know, we were just lucky to get what we get. We got what we got. But, you know, when you get a little older and you can actually buy your own food and you can actually buy something like that, and it's so amazing. And so that is, to me, the richer, the more excellent fruit. And that's what the Lord wants to bear from us. You guys are all bearing fruit in some way. But the Lord wants you to bear, just like what Rachel said, richer, more plentiful, more delicious than what you're producing right now. And the only way that's going to happen is as you obey, to allow the Lord to do the pruning and to help you in those areas where we need to be helped. We are not perfect. We have some rough edges. And let's just show a hand. How many of you have a few rough edges? Okay. So we're in good company. Our rough edges rub up against each other. They kind of smooth each other up, or they tear each other up. I don't know which way. But so it's okay to recognize and to acknowledge that we don't have it all together. And to me, that's as I've grown older and as I am now in my 50s, it's like there are still some things that God is working on that I want to get better, that I want those areas better before I go stand before Him. And you know, I wish that those things were better, but they're not. They're still there. Okay, Lord, man, I'm 50 years old, and I'm still working on this, you know? And He's going to work on those things until He has you at that place where He knows, okay, now it's time for you to come with me. So in my mind, maybe I'll get to Him sooner if I work on these things faster, because, you know, He wants us a certain way when we get there, when we come before Him. So there's those things that we just need to lay aside and move forward. And some of those things that we need to lay aside, He's been asking us for many years to lay it aside. And this is truly the morning when He wants you again to give Him that thing, that area where you have struggled for 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe you've struggled with it for 50 years. It's time to let Him begin the healing again. Maybe you thought you were healed, but if you've ever had a scar, that's not right. You know what I'm talking about. So there's those areas, and I do want to take, we have a little bit of time this morning. There's two things that I want to do. We have our kneeling pads, which you can kneel down if you want to. If you can't kneel down, that's not a big deal. But I want you to just spend, all of us here, we're just going to spend just a couple of quiet minutes and just ask the Lord in your mind, you can pray it out loud, is there still some little stone that has been left not turned out of my garden? Is there still something in there that you really want me to, and maybe we wouldn't be able to deal with it today, but make it known to me, God, so that we can begin to work on this one thing still. Now, He may have said there may have been a huge boulder, and He pushed that boulder out. Okay, but I saw everybody's hands. We know that we're not perfect. There's still something that the Lord would love to do, or at least to start this morning if He hasn't already. So can we just take, because it's still early, it's only 5 to 11, we can still take just the next 3 or 4 minutes quietly before the Lord, asking Him to reveal, to show us, is there something that He wants us to still deal with this morning? Okay, let's just take that time together. In 1 Corinthians 14, it reads, eagerly pursue and seek to inquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. For no one speaks in an unknown tongue, speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because the Holy Spirit utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. But on the other hand, the one who prophesies or interprets the divine will and purpose of inspired preaching and teaching speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself, but he who prophesies, interpreting the divine will and the purpose and teaching with inspiration, edifies and improves the church and promotes growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. And I wish that you might all speak in unknown tongues, but more especially I want you to prophesy, to be inspired to preach and interpret the divine will and purpose. He who preaches, he who prophesies, who is inspired to preach and teach is greater or more useful or more important than he who speaks in an unknown tongue, unless he should interpret what he says so that the church may be edified and receive good from it. Now, brethren, I come to you in speaking in unknown tongues. How shall I make it to your advantage unless I speak to you either in a revelation, a disclosure of God's will to man, in knowledge, or in prophecy, or in instruction? If even inanimate musical instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinctive notes, how will anyone listening know or understand what is played? Reading through the gifts of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I just want to let you ladies know, as pastor's wife, as I speak in tongues all the time, every single day, every time I pray, almost I speak in tongues. I pray with my understanding, and then I speak in tongues. And that has been probably what I feel has been one of the ways that I've been able to strengthen myself in my walk with the Lord. Because I am so unwise in so many areas and not knowing what to pray and run out of things to think to pray in a certain scenario situation that I just go to my default computer setting, which is speaking in tongues. And I just pray in the Spirit all the time. So I want you guys to know that. And if you ever want to come and speak to me personally or to any of our pastor's wives, but especially to myself, that I would lay hands on you and pray for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and that you would receive the gift of tongues, because I believe for edification of yourself that gift of tongues is for everybody in the church. It is a particular spiritual gift where you speak in tongues, and if there's someone that can interpret, that they can interpret that tongue, or you would pray for the interpretation yourself, that as well. But there's a time and a place. And for my personal walk with the Lord, I just pray in the Spirit all the time. So I want you guys to know that coming from me, that's where I stand on the issue, and this is where I look to the Scripture. And in verse 4, she who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves herself. So that's what I look to, and I don't have to do it out loud, and I don't have to be obnoxious, and I don't have to say you're not going to heaven if you don't speak in tongues, because I do not believe that. It's nothing to do with it, but I do practice that spiritual gift on a daily basis. So, again, love, 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 love. That's the key. That's the key to your growth. The more you love Jesus, the more time you'll spend with him. The more time you spend with him, the better your garden will grow. Amen.